authorised to go into confidence by the Local Government Act. I just ask elected members whether they foreshadow any possible conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Got Councillor Pryor?
The development item.
All right, so the southern zone, that be a material interest due to property ownership. Councillor Vlescu?
I'm in the Southern Hills area as well.
So, same. And Councillor Crossland, Councillor Luscombe?
Yeah, if that's a conflict, I'll declare it as well.
All right, we'll just see if we get property. Short of a quorum. Councillor Mates as well, Councillor Naismith as well. We just lost a quorum, didn't we? So Ms. McKenzie can consider that problem. There are provisions which cater for the circumstances, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Thank you for declaring that. If there's nothing else, we can move on to confirmation of the minutes. Oh, that's moved, Councillor Hoffman, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? So carried unanimously, thank you. And that's good. We can go straight on to our deputations. First of all, from the Marion Cricket Club. So just help me out. It's Mr. Loy, is it, to speak on behalf of the club? And I'm sure you've been briefed. You've got 5 minutes. And Mr. Harrison will help you with the microphone there. That's on and ready to go. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. My name's David Loy. I'm the president of the Marion Cricket Club, and I'm here representing the Marion Cricket Club board tonight. Our club has served the local area for more than 130 years. It currently fields 4 senior and 13 junior cricket teams, and that represents a doubling of our junior girls teams just over the last 12 months. Our club is the current recipient of the South Australian Community Cricket Club of the Year Award. This is awarded to a community cricket club that actively creates welcoming environments and seeks to create sustainable participation and growth through good governance, volunteer support, and inclusive on-field programs. I'm here tonight because we received an email from the City of Marion's Unit Manager for Sport and Recreation Facilities 8 days ago. It informed us that the council have declined to provide a letter of landlord consent in support of desperately needed new training facilities. This was on the premise that a master plan be developed for the precinct. I'm requesting that the council reconsider this decision and provide consent. The continuing growth of our club has resulted in the overuse of the current facilities, which have become unfit for purpose with substandard and potentially hazardous conditions. The current location for the facility prevents us from expanding our footprint to support current demand and future growth without encroaching on the existing soccer club's playing surface. The ageing training facility is also a hazard to users of the adjacent playground area. This is illustrated by the images you can see on the screens there. The replacement of our training facilities is one of our club's strategic priorities and was put on council's radar approximately 18 months ago. Our board has since worked hard to ensure a well-prepared grant application for submission to the Office of Recreation, Sport and Racing. In preparing our submission, the club has sought and gained written support from Sarah Andrews, the member for Gibson, Louise Miller-Frost, the member for Boothby, Club Marion, and the South Australian Cricket Association as our governing body. We've also conducted extensive member consultation and have received the unanimous support. In addition to the above, we have revised the funding model for the project. There is no requirement for council funding in this revised model. The Marion Cricket Club and Club Marion are committing significant funding to improve the training facilities. And I'd like to reiterate that we're not seeking financial assistance from the council for this project. The council's decision to not provide landlord consent has come as a genuine surprise to us. We believe that waiting for a precinct plan risks indefinitely delaying the building of these much needed improvements and also risks the continuing growth of our club. Submission of our grant application was due on December 9th, last Friday. We received the council's decision on December 5th. Given this, the Office of Recreation, Sport and Racing have granted an extension to the 8th of January 2023 for us to provide landlord consent. I respectfully request that the council immediately reconsider our application for landlord consent and provide approval by January 8th so that we can complete our grant application. Thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to take any questions if time permits.
Thank you. I think there may be one or two questions. And perhaps I could start off, because I'm very familiar with the club and with the precinct. Mr. Loy, I'm not sure how much has been explained to you. So that's where I'm coming from. You'd be aware that by council resolution, there are two fully funded developments set to occur in the precinct. The ice rink with rock climbing, and at the other end, two-court basketball stadium addition. Everybody, including council, the community, and club members, recognise that this creates a traffic and parking issue that needs to be resolved. Council has sought independent advice and believes it can be resolved. The question is exactly how, given that we don't have development applications for those two buildings yet. The issue is not the buildings, because we have a very good idea where they're going to go, but what happens with traffic and parking? So I think I'm speaking for all of the elected members that it's a great club. It's really wonderful to see it growing. From the club's point of view, it's absolutely essential to have improved facilities. But if we're going to be doing a development or overseeing a development in the next 2 years, almost definitely, that will have major traffic and parking implications. The question, and I wonder if you've asked yourself this question, is why would council want to rule in or out any bit of land just at the moment? Because, for example, and this is by no means any plan that's on the books that I'm aware of, but if there was extended parking in that area, there could be room for cricket nets somewhere else with a reconfiguration. And the precinct plan that I presume you've heard about from staff is to actually work out how are we going to solve the traffic and parking. The question is for you, has it been explained to you in that way? So what do you say about council's need to keep open the options for traffic and parking over the next 2 years?
Explicitly, I would say it hasn't been explained to us. Obviously, yes, we're aware of the proposed ice rink and the basketball stadium. Our view was that this didn't encroach on what those projects were without that explicit instruction. Okay. I was here tonight because we've got a pressing need that has been on us for a long time that is not going to go away. It's going to get bigger. And you know, the building of what we had proposed here is, you know, if we don't get through in this round of funding, we're looking 2025 before something like this may get built. That's if a precinct plan is ever even developed with respect. You know, that I don't recall seeing the ice arena or the basketball stadium as part of a precinct plan, yet this development is subject to a precinct plan.
Well, that, just from what you've said, Mr. Loy, that could be part of a misunderstanding, because the precinct plan, as I understand it, if I know anything about it, is to make sure that we have adequate traffic and parking solutions for the two major built forms that are almost certain to go ahead. So it's a matter of not closing out any options. Oh, there's not going to be a car park in the middle of the oval, I dare say, but there are obviously a number of options to solve that problem. Look, I've taken up a bit of time there, but other elected members, any questions? Councillor Valescu?
Mr. Lloyd, for coming along. It's not the most fun thing to come and speak in front of a council meeting, so thank you for that. I've got a couple of questions. My first one is, how much are you applying for external funding for this upgrade.
Total value of the project is around $220,000. We're asking the Office of Sport and Rec for $80,000. Club Marion are matching that dollar for dollar, and the cricket club will be contributing or will be responsible for the rest of the funds. So there is another Cricket Australia infrastructure fund that we were going to apply for as well. But if that were to fall through, then we would be responsible for that remaining $60,000.
Okay. And I guess my question in regards to this is to staff, if that's allowed, is there an opportunity to fast track the process to see if there is another location on site for this, that, or if this location can remain the one for the upgrade of cricket? So it obviously may not suit this round of funding, but is there that opportunity so this need is addressed quickly?
Really a question for Mr. Harrison and any managers present. So the staff are talking about a precinct plan in the first half of next year, but obviously even if it was 1 month into next year, that wouldn't be sufficient for the grant application that's been talked about. Mr. Harrison, anything?
Through the chair, I can only really echo the need to have a more comprehensive integrated approach to the totality use of the footprint, the land, car parking, as we've discussed in council many times, the access, the egress, the numbers and peak times, Thursday nights, Saturday afternoons, as examples, being considered as to how we can try and manage that. It's the time frame, I guess, is the issue here, and I understand the pressing time frame from your perspective and the club's perspective. 8th of January is obviously going to be very difficult.
I'll just let Councillor Valescu finish the point and then Councillor Costham.
Another question. Would a facility like this be eligible for any partnership funding through the City of Marion, seeing as the external grant is actually less than the 50% of the total project cost?
I think the short answer is that Marion Council funds all sorts of sporting facilities, but there's no magic formula to it. I haven't, in the context of this issue, I haven't heard finances being raised as an issue at all. It's only about keeping the options open to have a proper traffic and parking solution. Councillor Valescu?
Just wanted to clarify, because obviously the cricket club is anxious, they're missing out on this opportunity for external funding. However, if there was a delay and a site was found somewhere on there or even confirmed in that place after the precinct plan, would there be the opportunity for that money that's foregone to be provided by the City of Marion through any of our partnership funding opportunities?
I think it's what I just said. In theory, there's always a yes, but there's no commitment because we haven't even, well, I certainly haven't even seen the application. I'm not sure if, quite possibly staff have, but no further answer can be given, really, on the spot. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship, and thank you, Mr. Lloyd. My question is, I've been informed that the next round of funding from Rec and Sport will be in September next year. Is there a reason you can't apply for that? Why do you have to wait till 2025?
We estimate that if we wait until September 23, it would be 2025 before we would have a built facility that was ready to use.
If there aren't any others, thank you, Mr. Lloyd, for coming along. If nothing else, there's probably a good message in all of this to all parties concerned, and I mean elected members, the cricket club, Club Marion, council staff, to keep the channels of communication open. Up until October, I was liaison officer from the council to Club Marion, so went along to committee meetings, but I hadn't been aware of the project, for example. So keep the channels of communication open. You've always got, in addition to Marion Council staff, you've always got ward councillors and myself to fall back on, if that helps. So for now, we're not offering a lot of comfort, but at least a little bit of information. But further dialogue will take place about the issue, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we move on to, do we have a resident from Mitchell Street, Glengarry?
Yes,
yeah, very good. Mr. Sewell, thanks very much. Just come forward, and once again, Mr. Harrison will fix up the microphone ready for you. Just as a preface for new members, while Mr. Sewell's getting ready, this was an issue that was hotly debated probably 6 to 12 months ago, and as to how to cater for parking this particular short street. So, Mr. Sewell, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Hannah, councillors. My name is Kerry Sewell, and I reside in Mitchell Street, Glengowrie. Some of you are aware the traffic flow and access issues in and out of residents in Mitchell Street's been an ongoing subject for several years, and more recent, more activity on it. I'm directly affected in that I cannot reverse or enter my driveway safely or without several moves when cars are parked in close proximity to my residence. Mitchell Street is very narrow with restricted traffic flow, causing all of us to wind through the street when cars are parked, making it difficult to reverse out or enter into some residences. And many of my neighbours, particularly the elderly, fear the restricted traffic flow may prohibit emergency services from reaching them. We petitioned council recently, and as a result, several options were forwarded by staff to council for approval, and after some amendments, a plan was approved for action. The process, regretfully, didn't provide some residents the ability, to suggest any adjustments or changes to that plan to be considered. I do not want my issue to negatively impact my neighbours. However, I do want to have safe access into and out of my home. I would like to see a better outcome for myself and for all of us in Mitchell Street, one which allows council staff the ability to assess all options and suggestions and to make a final decision after consultation on the most workable solution for all concerned and bring this issue to a successful close. I respectfully request that council supports the current motion. Thank you.
All right, questions, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. A couple of questions. Every time we see street images like the one on there, there's no cars parked in the street. When are the cars actually in that street?
Well, they're not in there at any set time. The photos are taken. That's just one shot. It varies depending on who's home, who's not home, and who's got visitors and who hasn't got visitors.
And my next question is, often we resolve the issues without expense and removing trees by putting a yellow line down one side of the road. Why is this street not suitable for a yellow line?
I think I can only answer that. It's a matter for the staff at the council to come up with the traffic flow solutions. We're not traffic engineers, so I guess that's back to the staff at council, whether they think that's workable or not workable.
That was one of the options that was workable. It would work.
There were in the final, the last solution that was approved by council, there was a combination of inserts and yellow lines.
Yeah, sorry, you misunderstand my question. One of the solutions that would work is a yellow line down one side of the road. I'm just wondering why we couldn't use that as a solution in this case.
Again, I put that back to the staff of the council to suggest that's the best method of solving it. But that was one of the options that was put forward to council in the first five options.
Sorry, can I just intervene as chair here to help Councillor Crossland? Mr. Sewell, if there was a yellow line painted along one side of the street, would that solve the problem for you? And if not, why not?
It would solve my problem individually.
Would it cause problems to other residents that you're aware of?
I think it was put many years ago to put a yellow line down. As I understand it, I wasn't living there, and it was rejected by the residences. My thoughts are, and they're only my thoughts, if you yellow line one side of that street, you're going to restrict the opportunity for them to have visitors because they can't park when there's a yellow line at any time.
Can I just follow up with a question? I don't want to, I'm not asking you to disclose your address if you don't want to, But are we looking at the right portion of the street for your house?
No.
All right. Is it 180 degrees the other way?
No.
Yes. It's, okay.
Yeah.
But you, it's not my house. It's the right. No, it's the right street, but yes. your house wasn't shown. No, that's all right. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure we were talking about the right location.
I don't mind, Mayor Hannah. I might on the left, just where the little Nandinas are, if you know what a Nandina, the lawn there, just where the arrow is my, just back a bit, that's my residence.
So I thought I heard you say earlier, Mr. Sowell, that if you, or you can't get in or out of your driveway, whichever, without moving back and forth a lot.
Correct.
But so it's not impossible. It's just inconvenient. Would that be fair to say?
It's a fair observation. It's not impossible. I think if you think four moves are acceptable, it's a bit tough. My wife will not reverse out of that driveway because she's afraid of hitting cars. When the street's like that photograph there, it's not a problem at all. Not all a problem right. at all.
Thank you. Any other councillors with questions? Councillor Valescu? Very well. I'll invite you then to take your seat. I beg your pardon, Councillor Pryor? Yes.
Sorry, it's more a question for our staff about how wide that street actually is. Do we know that, Mr. Allen?
It was in the reports that came to us last year. It's a while ago.
And the follow-up question would be where that fits in the discussion that we had at the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee last year.
I think at this stage we'll invite Mr. Sowell to take his place back in the gallery.
Thank you.
Through the chair, the width of Mitchell Street is 6.6 metres. The minimum width that we desire is 7.2, which allows two vehicles to park either side opposite each other and allow 3 metre width for vehicles to travel between those two vehicles.
And sorry, there's an obvious follow-up question. How was it ever allowed to be a narrower street? Or is that for our planning department?
Through the chair, that's difficult to answer. I'm not sure exactly when Mitchell Street was constructed, how long ago, and why it came to be 6.6 metres, but in hindsight, it should have been 7.2 metres wide.
All right, sorry to put you on the spot. It's been lost in the mists of time. Now, what I'm going to suggest, because there's a motion in the agenda dealing with the item, we could move that forward. It's not something we necessarily do, but I am thinking that because there's a big chunk of confidential items, which we will get to very soon, it might be the best thing since it's fresh in our mind. Before I do that, Councillor Crossland, did you have a question? Because yes. We can do that in the context of the motion, if people are willing to do that. Mr. Allen? Yes. Well, why don't you ask your question now? I'll be flexible about it. Go ahead.
Firstly, it's not clear that we have reports before, which aren't included for some reason in the information we've got, about cost, tree removal. We seem to be going back to one of the options which was discounted by members before. Can you just refresh my memory, what the cost is and what the new cost will involve and whether any trees are going to be removed?
So just to give, I think before that answer even, it would be proper to put the question to the meeting whether you agree that we should go to page 340 on the agenda. That's where Councillor Valescu has put forward a motion regarding Mitchell Street. I just think that should probably be before us, before Mr. Allen goes into it further. Does anyone object? Then, with leave of the meeting, we go to deal with the item 14.2 immediately and then resume the normal agenda. So, Mr. Allen, back to you, if you can recall those points that Councillor Crossland asked about.
Thank you, through the chair. So the current state of Mitchell Street there are 17 on-street car parks available. In May of this year, Council resolved option 6, which included a total of 20 car parks, some partially indented, some on-street. There was no loss of trees, and the cost of that was $28,000. The proposed option, staff haven't undertaken a detailed assessment because we were conscious that there was a council resolution for option 6, and that's why this resolution is coming to council. We've done some preliminary investigation and identified that 24 car parks can be provided, a mixture of on-street and partially indented, but it may require the removal of 6 trees at a cost of $53,000.
All right, a question? Just while we're doing the fact-finding, I'll allow the questions to continue. Councillor Crossan. Mr. Sowell.
Good, and what's your opinion of the suggestion that's put forward?
I've had a point of order from Councillor Valescu that the motion be put first, but I have said I'll just let the facts get out first. It might even help when the motion is put if we just get these factual issues on the table, but I'm not going to allow any debate, just these fact-finding questions. Sorry, Councillor Crossland, did you want to sum that up, or Mr. Allen, have you got the question? Yes, please, Mr. Allen.
Through the chair, the current controls are through signage. So we've got a number of signs that say or request no parking opposite other vehicles. Generally speaking, the residents do comply with that and they do work it out. I think there are challenges when there are visitors to Mitchell Street where people don't obey those signs. In terms of a yellow line, a staggered yellow line could work effectively. The opportunity to provide additional car parks is through the partially indented option 6 or the motion that's in front of us.
Right, now still just any factual clarification, just Councillor Masika.
Yeah, thanks, Your Worship. They said there will be a loss of 2 trees. Is it a normal trees or is it pesty trees which are on the street?
When you said 6 trees, Mr. Allen, what are we talking about?
Through the chair, the size of the trees range from 4 to 8 metres. There's a number of bottle brushes, 4 bottle brushes, 1 cypress pear, and a dwarf SA blue gum.
All right, I think we should go to Councillor Valescu to move the motion.
Some questions. Sure. I guess, is there, first of all, the opportunity to offset some of those losses in the street? And secondly, from the meeting that I had, the 53s are the extra 25 on top of the 28 for the cost.
Clarification of your cost answer earlier, Mr. Allen.
Sorry, the first question around the trees. So there is opportunity to plant an equivalent number of trees to be removed. Particularly, there was a large pine tree that fell over in the storm about a month ago. So there's a number of locations at the end of Mitchell Street. My apologies, I didn't quite understand the question in regard to the budget.
So I think, Mr. Allen, you said that there was a certain amount, was it $28,000 for the option 6, which has been approved by council. However, we're obviously at liberty to change that if we want to. And you're saying it would cost an extra $25,000 or extra what? $25,000. Extra $25,000 to bring it a fraction over $50,000 potentially, to if this motion brought tonight was approved. Okay. Councillor Valescu, does that help?
The question was, yeah. Does that include 2 trees that were discussed at the meeting at the corner of Filmer and Mitchell Street, which now weren't considered in some of the preliminary costings? Because that was extra to put in indent there.
I mean, trees, we're talking about probably less than an extra $1,000, but Mr. Allen?
Through the chair, Yes, it does.
Well, if there's that reduces the number of trees, though, doesn't it, potentially? So it wouldn't be six trees, it would be possibly four. And can you, I know that there's one in front of five, one in front of seven. I thought they were the only ones that were being considered. Where are the other ones? And that was just a preliminary discussion.
Any more detail on your six trees, Mr. Allen?
Through the chair, I have to take that on notice. I don't have the exact locations of the house numbers where these trees are in front of.
We're certainly getting into granular detail. Councillor Valesky, I think you better move your motion.
Look, and that's part of the problem. This shouldn't have come to council in the first place. It was a local issue. It came with a petition. There were five options. The elected members looked at which option they thought would work best. Then if that had passed, we could have gone to the community, and if there would have been any adjustments, we could have done it. But unfortunately, no outcome was decided because of the other members weighing in on this. And although the option for number six, that it was devised based on not being the first five options. So really, I'm seeking to put this back into the realm where the staff can discuss it and look at it and get the right information to move forward and resolve it. Also, as far as the trees go, I'm only aware of two trees that we were looking at. Another resident has asked to have trees in front of their place. And that's the irony. One of the best kept lawns is the one that we want to change for paving. And then the two areas where trees are causing a nuisance for people are the ones we want to keep. But ideally, I would, be encouraging staff to look to increase the total number of trees, and I think there's the capacity to do so. And sure, there could have been more indents and more trees removed, but that was something that, I'd discourage. But members, this is a local level issue. It shouldn't be coming to council for every small iteration, and that's why I wanted to put back into the realm of staff through the CEO and provide a little bit extra to get the right outcome, just so there's not animosity in the community about the outcome that they've got at the moment. And one more thing, yellow lines don't work in every street. Two streets away it works, it doesn't. So, and the options they've got now with no parking on either side may work in others, but not in this. And we really need to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Masika.
Thanks, Your Worship. I second this motion for two reasons. Number one is the resident that are telling us that the street is so narrow and the things are not working the way it should work. And it's been confirmed by administration that it's a narrow street, probably shouldn't be there at all. So what we need to do in here is to provide what can work for everyone rather than dividing up the community. So what we are supposed to do is to add up to $25,000, so that to make a total of $53,000, which will be enough. And there will be a loss of two trees. The rest of the trees are not protected, the pest trees. So everything can be achieved. And that reason, seconded the motion.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Speaking against on a number of reasons, I disagree. This is not just a local ward issue. This is a decision to start removing street trees, streetscaping to make more room for car parking. That's not what this council has been about. Nobody's asked Mr. Allen how many other streets are narrow that we're going to start removing trees from. I think there's about 50, if you want to confirm that with him. Councillor Valescu says that yellow lines won't work in this street. That question wasn't asked to Mr. Allen, who's the engineer. I don't know where Mr. Councillor Valescu got that information from. That could be tried. It's inexpensive. It doesn't mean any trees will be removed. I hear that trees can be planted elsewhere, but every time you do indented parking, you're removing the spaces for trees. Yes, there might be some gaps in that street. We can put more trees in. There could be more trees put in today than there will after the indentation. So you're still losing trees. So I still don't think this is a ward issue. I ask members to either defer it if you want the original information or vote against it so that it's not something that opens the gates to all these other streets. And the last point I'd like to make is we're actually going against the community engagement. The majority voted for the proposal put forward by staff. I know there's mention of a little street meeting and that decision of the majority has now been overturned. There's no mention of how many people are now changing that position. So again, on that position alone, I'd say proceed with caution.
Anyone else speaking in favour? If not, Councillor Telfer.
Yeah, we have a narrow street, if I remember rightly, because I do know that area. There was a stable at the end, and so this was a laneway as such. And so we get these aberrations throughout our city, and we have to manage them as they come up, and we have to try to make the best we can for the community that live there.
Anyone else speaking against? If not, then it's for Councillor Bilescu to close the debate. Thank you.
Look, I've been aware of this issue for 12 years. As I said, there was almost a bit of an altercation between residents when the yellow line option was canvassed several years ago. There has been the other option that's been tried. It's not working. Each area is different. So this is really working through those options. I think it's a bit rich to assume that we can't, we have to do this in every single street like this. It depends on the street and it's a case-by-case basis. And I guess the issue is that, this is being exacerbated by a subdivision, the sort of subdivisions that people don't want, people that have said that in the community consultation. And they've also said about livability, and this is affecting the livability. I don't want to cut down trees, but if we get too absolutist, I think sometimes you actually get a backlash and people going, well, we're willing to have more trees in our street, but you don't want to cut one that's going to be a potential, can resolve an issue and it's not protected or anything like that. We may actually lose support for that environmental argument. So members, let's put this issue behind us. Let's get a solution that works for more people in that street and move forward and really concentrate on some of the big picture items.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise a hand. All those against, raise a hand. I'm sorry, I didn't see every hand go up. So can I I'll declare it carried. But members, just be mindful that you all do need to vote and I need to see that you're voting. So division's been called. So that means those in favour, could you please stand in your place? Those in favour are councillors Luscombe, Singh, Bilescu, Naismith, Lama, Telfer, Taylor, Hoffman, and Masika. Sorry, you may sit down. Those against are councillors Crossland, Mates, and Pryor. The motion's carried. I do know everybody's names, really. Thanks, Mr. Allen. So we move on. Mr. Sal, there won't be any more action in relation to Mitchell Street tonight. You're free to leave if you want, or you can stay for a tiny bit longer if you wish. But we are coming now to confidential items. I'm sure we've all looked at those three items carefully, and there are indeed reasons under the Act to go into a confidential discussion. Would someone like to move all three cover reports on block, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pryor, that we go into confidence on those three matters? So I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So don't think we have any members of the public left in the room, but we're going to first deal with coastal walkway gullies. So that'll be for the appropriate staff to sit in on. And we'll stop using microphones from this point. I won't hazard a guess at which page it's on, but the Shape Your Future campaign
we are just noting the report and the responses, and we're going to put it on the Making Marion website. So it's actually, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. It's actually a very simple motion. Who would like to go ahead? Councillor Telfer, would you like to speak to it?
We went far and wide. We have two or three cohorts in our responses. We now need to go out again to really pull this together and to use this information for the next 4 years so that we reflect the community over the next 4 years.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Valescu? Anything to add?
Members may want to have a look at the audit committee report. It provides some opportunities as far as our consultation into the future. So just might mention that.
Right, thank you. And the key thing about it is that as we put together the next four-year plan, there are plenty of ideas there. It's not necessarily a scientific survey about what the community wants, but it has generated a lot of ideas for us to consider as we make our decisions. There being no one speaking against, I'll put the vote. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we turn over to the next item, Southern Suburbs Residential Policy. There have been some discussions behind the scenes with management about it. The main feedback being that there probably needs to be more clarity in the executive summary so that anyone simply reading it can understand whether there are a particular street is more likely or less likely to be subdivided further or subdivided less, so to speak. Now, Councillor Pryor, now I suppose before I go any further, having suggested that it could be referred to the planning committee, Ms. McKenzie, what do you have to say about conflict of interest?
So through the chair, it is hard to advise members on conflicts of interest in regards to property that you may own that is located down south without knowing property dimensions, whether it is something that could be potentially subdivided, whether it's a new home, an old home, any of these kind of things. So it is hard to provide some generalist advice. However, when we did the conflicts of interest training at the beginning of the year, it said just because you may develop your land sometime into the future, and it doesn't necessarily translate through to a conflict of interest. However, if you did have plans to do it in the immediate future and you were going to gain a benefit from that, then yes, you would. So I guess today the advice is a little bit vague in regards to not understanding what properties you may own and what it may look like. However, they are some of the considerations you may need to take on board. The other part of this is that it's not a decision-making point at this time. It's a decision-making point to go out to consultation. So if we were approving it, it would potentially create a bit of a different situation as well. What I would recommend is that depending on what we do, if this does go out to the Planning and Development Committee, I would suggest that you come and speak to us so we can get specific advice in regards to your properties and the location where they sit and whether there is a direct conflict over those.
So if the Mayor could just add to that with some advice. It doesn't necessarily catch councillors if they own property in the zone. The question would be, could a decision in relation to that zone change the value of their property? Now, Councillor Pryor's indicated that it will change the ability of his property to be subdivided, so he has declared a material interest on that basis. So others just need to think about, from what you see in the report, is it anticipated? Do you anticipate that it might make your property more or less valuable? Councillor Valescu?
So it probably would be captured for better or for worse. So I might remove myself now from the process.
Just sure. What I was trying to establish before you do that is how many people are going to leave the room. Because if it does go below seven, then we don't have a quorum.
Well, just looking at this, the detached dwelling looks like it sort of changes from being subdividable not to being subdividable. So it's probably better. I'm affected.
Well, that does sound material. Yes. Yeah.
If I stay and vote against it, you can read about me in the paper. So.
Ms. McKenzie, what's the rule when application of the conflict of interest rules would reduce it to not having a quorum?
So this does happen from time to time where a number of members can be affected, which would have to leave and we wouldn't have quorum. What the process is that if we want to seek an exemption to that, we have to apply to the minister, and the minister would determine whether that would be that exemption would be granted or not. Alternatively, the way that we have done it before is chunked the matter down into separate parts. So members would only have to then be removed for the sections that related to them, which I'm not sure if this is doable or not in that way.
Tricky. So having heard the advice from Ms. McKenzie and myself, it does remain at the end of the day your personal decision about whether you want to declare a material conflict of interest, in which case you'd have to leave the room, or what's the other one called now? Used to be called perceived, a general interest, which you might say you have from simply living within the zone, even if your property won't necessarily have its value affected by any changes, in which case you can stay in the room and vote, but your residence would be in the zone, I mean, would be recorded. Any takers, Councillor Crossland?
Thank you. I'll just declare a general conflict of interest. I own two properties in the southern suburbs. If this goes through, it will just make properties on steeper land in Howick Cove more difficult to subdivide. That's not going to change anything for my properties. So on that basis, I'll just declare a general.
Thank you, Ms. Councillor Luscombe.
Yeah, I think I'll declare a general conflict of interest as well. My property's about 660 square metres, so I don't think, and it's on a slope, so I just don't think it's going to be affected. I wouldn't try to subdivide it anyway. So.
Just looking at the figures in the tables, that would suggest it's not going to be subdividable now or under the new
proposal. It doesn't
proposal.
Affect. Yeah, so it's a general
conflict. So thank you. That seems fair. Others? Councillor Naismith.
Through the Chair, yes. I'm not 100% sure because mine would not be subdividable still, but it will change the value most likely of my property relative to the other properties in our street or our suburb.
In that case, I think you could say it was a material conflict of interest and you're probably better off leaving.
Thank you.
Councillor Mates.
I would probably echo Councillor Naismith's conflict in being that it would change the value of my property, and I'm not quite sure exactly of the sloping, but it is over 700 square metres.
Thank you. So you will leave the room on that basis. Thank you. I think we've covered everything off. We still have a quorum. So as I say, there are two ways to go. One is to go with the motion as printed. However, there were discussions prior to the meeting about referring the matter to the Planning and Development Committee with a particular focus on improving the communications so that the report, when it comes back to council, is clear about which areas are more likely to be subdividable and which less. So over to you, Councillor Telfer.
I'll move a deferral to the Planning Committee so that this can be looked at in that way and then return to the next general council meeting or the next relevant council meeting.
Are you happy with referred? Just might be slightly better.
Oh, yes. My reason is that I did ring today to try and sort out table one and table two. And so I think it is difficult to understand. And I'm disappointed that table two wasn't in the body of this recommendation or in the executive summary, so that it was quite clear where we were going, what direction we were taking, rather than it being table one and table two, and in the skim read, very hard to pull the whole thing together.
Thanks for that, Councillor Telfer. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland? No, nothing further. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so the committee will have fun with that. And early next year, we'll come back to council. Thank you. On to the next item. We might just tell those councillors who have gone out, they may come back. Next item is appointment of council representatives to what we call SWARA, the Southern Region Waste Resource Authority. So we have our General Manager Corporate Services nominated among staff as a member of the board. Is there a councillor interested? Otherwise, we'll go to a second staff member. If not, then who, Mr. Harrison, who's your next nomination among staff?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, can I just confirm that the term didn't change from 4 years?
It's a four-year term under the constitution of SWARA, I believe.
And we didn't ask a question about changing to twos?
The only practical solution I can see to that is someone who is nominated but then resigns partway through. That would be a resignation from the SWARA board if they couldn't see out of 4 years. Councillor Crossland?
Or there is a possibility that you could change the charter if the other members agree to make it a two-year term.
All right.
It's a great opportunity.
Last call, then, Mr. Harrison. Sorry, Councillor Crossland.
Look, I'm not volunteering, but having spent so much time and effort on it, if it is going to go to two staff members, I'd be happy to serve as the deputy, so at least an EM is still aware of what's going on because everything's in confidence.
I'll just check if there are any other members interested in being deputy. There being none, we can actually fill in that name in the wording of the recommended motion. As for clause one, as printed, Mr. Harrison, any final call? Last call, gone. Mr. Harrison, who's your other staff member?
Ray Barnwell.
Mr. Ray Barnwell, very good. Our Chief Financial Officer. So that being the motion, would someone like to proceed? The Masika, thank you. Seconded Councillor Pryor. Any further, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously, thank you. A council liaison, 290. Oh, it is in my agenda as well. Good. Now, the clause five, as has been informally discussed, is Councillor Telfer to Club Marion. And do we unless anyone's putting up their hand for Holdfast Model Aero Club or Nana's Childcare or Southern Football League, we'll simply delete those lines from the motion. They could probably have a joint meeting. It would be very interesting. Then, apart from that, it's all straightforward, I think. So, would someone, and there is in the, you'll see there in the clauses, there is the scope for further application if council members and clubs are interested. So there is some flexibility to it. Who'd like to move accordingly? Councillor Taylor. Thank you. Seconded Councillor Lama. Did you have any comments, Councillor Taylor? Councillor Lama? Very good. No opposition. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Clearly. Thanks. That's carried unanimously. I am always mindful of opportunities to take things on block, but I think we just have to persist for the moment in taking things one by one. The budget review. Any comment from Mr. Harrison? Briefly.
As we roll over unspent funds, particularly capital projects that haven't been completed from last financial year over, and that's really relevant to the $6 million figure. The second and third budget reviews are far more informative and present a real or a more truer picture at a point in time in relation to the cash flows, but also the progress of cost of major projects. The key amounts at the moment are the $61,000, which is positive for the first review. Do not be concerned about the fact of a suggested $6 million impact on the budget. That's really a financial treatment process where we actually bring capital money into the budget, into the cash component, just to be recorded from a financial treatment. The bottom line is that we are on track with our budget for the first 3 months. We would hope we can also track positively in the next budget review period when we come back in the new year. But at this point in time, very early in the financial year, we're largely on budget, spending our actual amount against our budget amount. And if anything, we're slightly in front. And there is some financial treatments which depict bringing capital money into the budget, which are, as I said, financial treatments. So at this stage, everything looks pretty good.
Thank you. And two comments from the Mayor. There's a useful graph at the end of the report about council-funded capital works carryovers. It was a real focus 4 to 8 years ago. And you'll see from the graph that our carryovers, which is an essential, I mean, part of it at least, is things that we plan to do that we didn't get done. And that's less than half than it was back in 2015. So that's a positive.
Can I please add to that?
Yes.
Because it's even more positive. That's on the back of COVID, where everybody is alert to the fact we had supply chain issues and escalation issues. It really relates largely to three projects. And in particular, the biggest aspect of that is last year was the City of Marion's largest construction built project period, probably for the last 20 years. So we delivered far more projects in that 12-month timeframe, a lot more civil works. We had less carryovers and we still had to manage with COVID at the same time. So I think an exceptionally good result.
The other thing I was going to note is that being a relatively small variation from budget is actually pleasing to see. In the old Pleasantville days, we used to regularly get $1 million positive variation each time. And, you know, we could all slap ourselves on the back and say, wow, that's great. There's actually so many savings we're making. But it was simply because the budget had so much padding that as you went through, you realised you were never going to spend what was budgeted for. So it's actually a testimony to more accurate budgeting. Anyway, enough from me. Councillor Valescu. Yes, you're moving it.
Comments in regards to the budget position. Something that was mentioned by the audit committee is that there will be challenges with the long-term financial plan moving forward. And they looked at the figure of 2.7 and thought that's going to be really hard to have a 2.7% increase based on that. And we already have some of the evidence here. There has been an increase in salaries due to CPI going up so much and even the electricity costs for the year. So without those two, we would have had an extra $600,000 available. So just to get an idea as to some of the challenges that we're facing, and something brought up in the audit committee is just to help identify to council, but also to residents, you know, when the rates go out, actually, you know, there probably will be an increase based on what we've had in the past, and just to maybe, you know, identify why. So the residents know, you know, we're paying more in electricity by this much or whatever it is this much, because, yeah, we don't want to slug residents more than we have to, but we also need to run our core business. And one of the risks identified is that you underrate for, I guess, political reasons and not provide those services or get into a situation which is not favourable financially. But there's some of those thoughts, and we'll be talking more, I guess, when we move forward in the planning process for the next budget.
Is that seconded, Councillor Masika? Thank you.
So, Your Probably, I wouldn't mind to second the motion, but I want to ask one question to Mr. Harrison, that we see the cost of electricity is going up this year, and it's going to be worse next year and the year after. So do we have any plan for the council for the next years to make sure that we can produce our own electricity and cut the cost?
Through the chair, we were going to enter into new contracts, and it's done in coordination with the LGA and all councils in the main in South Australia, the 68. The decision was taken, a unanimous decision, is we should not go into a contract this side of Christmas because we would potentially pay a lot more post testing the marketplace in March or April next year. So we are going to wear what we think is a $360,000 additional cost for, if I can say, staying on a variable rate for utility provision for the next 3 to 4 months. But we're of the view, and it is a very strong view by industry experts as well as people across the councils, that we'll be in a stronger position to negotiate greater levels of discount come March, April next year, when we'll hopefully go into a new contract, which will take effect as of 1 July next year.
Well, thank you. Good question. All right. If there's no one against, I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you, everyone. That's carried unanimously. So we'll go over the page, page 316. In between meetings, Councillor Hoffman's expressed interest in the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee. So there's no payment involved, just a lot of interesting hard work. So she doesn't need to leave the room as such. But would someone like to move? Councillor Telfer? Moved as printed. Seconded, Councillor Masika. Any further discussion? Then all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go on to note the questions on notice register. Oh, what have I done? Oh, slight problem. Page 317. Oh, there is. So we are. The proposal is to appoint an independent investigator to undertake review of decision regarding the coastal walkway. And just to, for those who aren't familiar with it, Section 270 is a section of the Local Government Act providing for investigation into administrative decisions. It is possible for council to investigate itself, and that might happen sometimes with very minor matters, but obviously it's a very significant project. There has been some contention around it, so hence the recommendation that an independent investigator be appointed. Moved, Councillor Crossland. Anything further? Don't have to. Councillor Masika. Seconded, nothing further. Is anyone, any questions? Councillor Bolescu.
I'd just like to thank staff. I understand there were some challenges in trying to get the scope of this worked out. So, yeah, staff have gone beyond the pale.
Thank you.
It's
been moved and seconded. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So those arrangements will be made. So the next two, I beg your pardon, the next two items can be taken on block. That is noting the questions taken on notice register and the bylaw review update, which is just for information, but people may speak or ask questions to either matter if they wish. Someone like to move on block?
Councillor Pryor. Thank you. Seconded Councillor Taylor. Do either of you wish to add anything, Councillor Pryor?
Oh, look, just quickly, I thank the staff for the answer to the question I put on notice. It makes sense, the figures now, to me. And it is pretty clear where we need to focus our efforts, Mr. Harrison. Thank you.
Nothing further. Then anyone against? No other questions? I'll put the motions, both of them. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yes, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we do come to the final item, having dealt with Mitchell Street already. I've got page 337, Community Engagement, Marion Cultural Centre Plaza. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't think I need to say too much. It's pretty much written in the comments and staff comments. Just to say, look, I think the community engagement we carried out 3.5 years ago was flawed. It's unclear what the community would want out of this project. And under our own policy, we should consult. And this is purely to complete the consultation. It might be more information than as well as consultation, so they know that the project has changed, and then it'll be up for elected members whether or not they still want to proceed or not. But this is purely just for consultation, not to change the decision.
Seconded. Councillor Naismith, wish to speak to it? Anyone speaking against? Councillor Tilton.
We have consulted. We did look at this last week. We know that our community expects to move through that area, and that when it actually happens, they'll be shocked and surprised. So I don't believe that going and asking again and having a second lot of data that you have to weigh against the first lot of data is going to be very useful. So I'm going to vote against this.
Any others in favour? Councillor? Are there any other speakers in favour of the motion? Then it is up to Councillor Crossland to reply.
Oh, look, I'll just close on. I want to be part of a council that actually does commit to community consultation, not hide behind information we got 3.5 years ago and didn't consult with all the available facts given to the public. And I want to stick to our own public consultation policy. Otherwise, what's the point?
All right, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is defeated. A division called by Councillor Crossland. So those in favour, please stand. They are Councillors Crossland. This is in favour of the re-consultation. Councillor Crossland, Councillor Luscombe, Councillor Naismith, you may sit down. Those in the negative are Councillors, it's all right, I can go around. Councillors Singh, Bilescu, Mates, Lama, Telfer, Pryor, Taylor, Hoffman, and Wasika. So the motion's defeated. And I'm glad to say that concludes the meeting. Apart from one motion without notice, which I am allowing. Councillor Wasika.
I'd like to request a leave of absence for the first meeting in January. I'll be away and I won't be able to attend. I'll be far from Adelaide. I was going to ask you for exemption, to be exempted on that day of the meeting.
Yes, so. Seconded Councillor Bilescu. So you're not seconding. Councillor Crossland is seconding the motion without comment. Question from Councillor Bilescu. So thanks for the question. The rule is if you miss three council meetings in a row, you lose your place on council. So even if Councillor
or any councillor thinks they might be away for one meeting, sometimes they'll simply let the mayor or the chief executive or governance know that they're going to be away that meeting, and it's no big deal. But at the same time, a person is at liberty to ask leave of the council, and then that it doesn't count as a strike against you, so to speak. It's probably more commonly, for example, we had a councillor who was going to be away due to health reasons for an extended period in the last council. So they could say, well, I know I'm going to miss three meetings or something like that. Once permission's given, that doesn't count against them, so to speak. So it's something just to be mindful of. Certainly, if you ever miss two meetings in a row, you really want to be wheeled in if need be and make sure that you're present in the room for that third one. So thanks for the educative question, Councillor Valescu. I need to put the motion. Councillor Taylor, yes. No, the law only applies, as I just described, only applies in relation to general council meetings, including special council meetings, because it's a council meeting. Yeah, so that the special council meetings are quite rare, but we'll sometimes put them on if there's an urgent matter, or if we're overloaded with complex issues, we might have a separate meeting, you know, for a coastal walkway or something else. But I'm expecting with this council being a very high-functioning council that we probably won't need any. Now, Councillor Lusk has got a question. If you wish to, with new players and all that, I'm happy to take a motion without notice. But first, we must deal with the motion before us to allow Councillor Masika absence from the January council meeting. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Sorry, Councillor Singh, what was your vote? I'll call for the vote again. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Yes, that is unanimous. Thank you. Now, I'll entertain a motion from Councillor Singh with the same wording, and by the way, you don't have to give lengthy explanations. We actually don't need your personal life or whatever. But you wanted leave of absence for two meetings. Is that right, Councillor Singh?
Yeah.
Then you're moving that way? That's your motion? Then is that seconded? Councillor Valescu, thank you. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now I can declare the meeting closed.